Let's pray as we come to look at this passage from that Nikki just read to us. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that it speaks to us today. I pray that you'd help me now as I speak your words to be faithful to to what you have to say. And by your Spirit, may you open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us through them. In your name, amen. I wonder if you're visiting church, maybe you don't often do that, or you know people that don't often come to church, whether they'd say to you that they feel that church can be quite judgmental. You ever get that feeling? I was only a few months ago, I was talking to someone, and they were talking about having been into church and being surprised that they didn't burst into flames. I think suggesting that because of their lifestyle, God might send a fiery fire on them or something. And I think often people in the world do have this idea that the church is quite judgmental, maybe because Christians often speak in the public sphere about what they think to be right and wrong and the moral arguments that go on. They think, well, if church is all about morality, it's all about being told what is right and wrong. And of course, there is an aspect of that. But we're not here to be judgmental. Certainly, that was not what Jesus was about. In our reading today, it starts with telling us what the context is of the story that Jesus tells. And it tells us that there were sinners and tax collectors, people that were judged and condemned by many of the Jews of the day because of their bad behavior, coming to Jesus. And Jesus was welcoming them. He was sitting with them. He was eating with them. He was teaching them. And the other religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, were saying to Jesus, but how can you do that, Jesus? These are wicked people. These are people that go completely against what God says. These are people that are disloyal to his nation, particularly the tax collectors who collected taxes for the Romans. You should be showing that these people are wicked by having nothing to do with them. Do you hear the sort of judgment that comes on that, the condemnation that comes with that? And Jesus responds, he says in verse 3, by telling them this parable. Now, there's a couple of issues with verse 3. First of all, it says this parable, and Jesus actually goes on to say, tell us three parables, or three stories. Stories that are little stories in themselves, but stories that are meant to make a point. And we'll be looking at the first two today, and the next one we're going to look at in a few weeks' time. And the first two stories are two stories that are very similar to each other, aren't they? They both involve the same pattern. They both involve someone who's lost something, going and searching for it, and when they find it, they're very happy and rejoice and invite all their friends and families to come and join them and to celebrate. And to understand the parables, to understand the stories, it's important to understand what the characters in the stories represent, what they show. And so, first of all, the one who has lost something, in the first story, the shepherd, in the second story, the woman, that's meant to represent God. Jesus is trying to show us this is what God is like. He's like the shepherd, he's like the woman in these stories. And we know that because when you look at the last bit, the shepherd and the woman are people to rejoice. And at the end of each story, he says this line in verse 7 and verse 10 about how they'll be rejoicing in heaven, rejoicing in God's home. In other words, God is like the one who has lost something. But what about the lost? The sheep and the coin in the two stories. Who do they represent? Well, Jesus is with those sinners and tax collectors that are coming to him. And so it seems likely that they represent them. And when he gets to the end of the story, he talks about the sinner who repents. These are the lost that are being found. So that refers to the sinners that are coming to Jesus. But do you notice as well that there's a third set of people, a further group of people in the story? And that's the families and friends. At the end of both stories, the shepherd and then the woman go to their family or friends or family and neighbours and say, come, let's come and celebrate together. Who does that refer to? Is that just a detail of the story? Or are we actually meant to see it as one of the characters that Jesus is talking to at that time? And also, if you notice in verse 3, it says Jesus told them this story. Who is the them? Is it the Pharisees and teachers of the law? Or is it the sinners and people coming to him? I think probably it's both. I think these stories are relevant to both groups, but they have different messages for each group. And so as we go through the story, I'm going to think about what messages there are for the sinners and what messages there are for the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, those who are being judgmental for those outside of the church, outside of God's people. So let's look at the stories in a bit more detail. I want to start by thinking about this issue of what it means to be lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost. And probably most of us have been lost at some sense in some way. I don't know if you can remember being lost as a child. I'm not very good at remembering much of my childhood, but I've got one or two vivid memories of being lost in big crowds and separated from the family. And it's quite a terrifying experience, isn't it? It's a horrifying experience. And in the story, we've got the lost sheep. And the sheep, imagine being a sheep that's been lost from the flock. You're away from all your friends. You're away from the protection of the shepherds. And you're wandering around and you're easy prey for wolves and other creatures out there in the wilderness. It's a lonely and terrifying situation to be in. You're away from where you belong. You're away from security. You're away from protection. And I think this image is deliberate on Jesus' part. In fact, if you look at the Bible as a whole, the people of God and people generally are often described as sheep. And there's a particular verse in Isaiah 53 that says this, or begins like this. It says, "We are all like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Is that image there of the sheep that's gone away from the flock, gone away from the shepherds, and is lost in a sense. And that's the sort of image that Jesus is evoking with this story about the lost sheep. And it's really an image of a different way of looking at what it means to be a sinner. You see, what that verse in Isaiah 53 is saying is that all of us have gone away from God. God is the good shepherd. But we think, actually, I'd rather live a life where I don't have some shepherd telling me what to do or guiding me or pointing me in different directions. I'd rather do my own thing, go my own way. But when we do that, we go away from God and we get caught up in all kinds of things in life. And at the heart is fundamentally what sin is. It's a wandering away from God. It's a straying away from God and his protection. When we live life like that, we end up often lonely, certainly without any sense of connection with the divine, and we end up in dangerous situations. Sin is often destructive and causes all sorts of problems for us. And so Jesus, using this image of what it is to be lost, is speaking powerfully both to the sinners that are listening, but also to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Because actually, he said in the story, the lost sheep is sought out, isn't he, by the shepherd. The shepherd goes everywhere to find him. And when he finds him, he puts him on his shoulders and carries him home. And Jesus is kind of saying, look, this is what God is like. God longs for you to come back. God longs for you not to be straying away, but to be part of his family again, part of his flock again. And he longs to carry you back into the fold on his shoulders. And so you see what Jesus is saying to the sinners and the tax collectors, those that are coming to him. He's saying, look, your life of sin has led you astray. It's led you away from God. It's caused you all sorts of loneliness and danger and destructiveness in your lives. But actually, God doesn't see you as to be condemned. He sees you as lost. And he's longing to bring you back. He's longing to carry you on his shoulders and bring you back into the fold. And there are many people here today that know that as they look at their lives and they see their lives and they see the things that are going wrong in their lives, they see some of the destructive things that have happened to them, they see the sense of not having any sense of belonging or being lonely. Maybe God is saying to you, you're lost. You strayed away from me like everyone else. But that doesn't need to be the end of a story. turn back to me, repent. That's what repentance means. Repentance means turning back, wanting to come back into the flock, wanting to have Jesus, God as your guide and your shepherd again, wanting to find his protection, his security, not just for this life, but for eternity. Jesus is saying to those sinners, repent, and you can have all that. You can be back in the flock again. But he's saying to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, don't look at these people as sinners. Don't look at them as people to be condemned and to be judged. Look at them as lost. Look at them as those that are lonely, that are in a dangerous position. Don't treat them as people to be condemned, but people to have compassion for. And so as Christians as well today, for those of us that can end up being like the Pharisees, we can be tempted to look on the rest of the world and to judge and to condemn. Jesus says to us, no. Actually, we should be seeing people outside the church as those that are lost, that need to be brought back to God. Those that are lonely and in danger need to be brought back into the fold, to where they belong, to be part of God's flock. So that's the horror of being lost. But actually, the stories don't focus so much on the lost. They do actually focus more on the person that's seeking the lost, don't they? And the message here is really that how valuable both the shepherd and the woman see what they've lost is. When you come to the story of the woman with the lost coin, this coin was a silver coin. It was a drachma. It was worth a day's wages. So in today's terms, it was probably worth about £100. Now, if you lose £100, you'd probably be quite upset, and you'd probably want to find it. Now, if you lose your glove, you don't really worry too much, don't you? And there's plenty of lost property at the back where people have lost gloves and scarves and hats and various things and left them behind and not been too worried about them. But this week, the lady lost her purse, and with all the cards in it and some money and a driving license and so on, in the hall, and she was desperate to get it back, so she called. I think she might try to call me, but I tend to ignore my phone calls. So she called the bookings manager, and the bookings manager came out and opened up the hall for her, and then they couldn't find it in the hall, so they called the Slimming World lady, the group she'd been at, and she'd opened the cupboard up, and they still couldn't find it. She was desperate to find it, because it was worth something. It was valuable to her. And in his story, Jesus is saying, look, God is like the woman searching for this lost coin. This lost coin is worth £100 to her. It's one of the 10 coins she has. It's 10% of her savings. She's desperate to find it. And when she does find it, she's rejoicing. She's overjoyed. And that joy of the woman shows how much they value what was lost. The more you value something that you lost, the more you'll look for it. And the more you value something that's lost, the more rejoicing there'll be when you find it again. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, look, you sinners are like the lost coin. You're still deeply valuable to God. He will search for you and he will rejoice when he comes to find you. And actually, to show the value as well, going back to that verse in Isaiah 53, we only read half of it earlier on. He said, we're all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who is the him? Actually, in Isaiah, it's not very clear. But when we come to the New Testament, it is clear. It's Jesus. God values us so much that he sent Jesus, his son, to die for us. And in the stories that Jesus tells here, there's kind of over-the-topness about them. Actually, in the parables, often there's a sort of over-the-topness element. It's not quite how people normally react. So you notice that both the shepherd and the woman invite their friends and neighbours to almost have a party to celebrate that the sheep's been found or the coin's been found. Now, I think if that woman ever finds her purse, I don't think she'll have a big party to celebrate. I don't think I'd ever have a party to celebrate when I've lost something and found it again. I don't know if any of you ever had done that. This seems a bit completely over-the-top, doesn't it? But Jesus is saying this is what God is like. God is over the top. You may value a silver coin. You may value one of your sheep. But God values those that are lost far, far more. And so if you're here today as someone who doesn't know God, maybe you think of yourself as actually not worth much. Maybe because that's what other people have told you or where you've been treated. Maybe because of things you've done in the past that you're ashamed of. Jesus is saying to you, no, you are deeply valuable to God, to the creator of the whole universe. All of us are. Elsie, Stuart, all of us. We matter to God, so much so that if we get lost and we turn back to God, there'll be rejoicing in heaven. God will throw a party. That's how happy he is and how wonderful he is. So know that you matter to God. Know that he will welcome you back. But for those of us that are Christians and have been for a while, this is a reminder to us that not that we're valuable to God, but actually everyone else is as well. They may be lost. They may be away from the church. They may be going away from God. They may be doing awful things. But they're still valuable to God. God still searches them out. And you see, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they needed to hear that. That these people that they were treating as worthless and valueless and didn't want to have anything to do with because of their wickedness, they needed to know that they still mattered to God, they're still valuable to God. And to show that value, they needed to join in with God's rejoicing. Remember at the start I said, who do the friend and the family stand for? I think maybe, and I can't be certain about this, but maybe the friends and the family stand for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They're the ones invited by God, by the shepherd, by the woman, by God, to join in the celebration. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, stop grumbling about these wicked people being welcomed by me and start rejoicing. Because this is what God is about. God rejoices when people come back to him. And so what are we meant to be as a church? We're not meant to be judgmental. We're not meant to be condemning. Yes, we are meant to say what is right and true, but we are also to be a place of joy and celebration that people are turning back to God. Because that's what God is like. That's how we're meant to be like as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these stories. They're quite well-known ones, but they teach us so much. And they really get to the heart of what it means to be calling people back to you, for people from being lost to being found, for people to knowing how valuable they are to you. Help us to know that, and help us to rejoice as your church when people turn to you. In your name we pray. Amen.